to worship, we remain connected to things that cannot save us or redeem us. Even on the Sabbath, we remain distracted by these devices we call cell phones, the fruit of restless work, where we worship data and information rather than the God who is the source of all knowledge. In the passage for our meditation, Moses pleads with Pharaoh to let the people rest so that they may go into the wilderness to offer sacrifices unto God. God called Moses to demand rest for his people. He expects us to exercise this rest. He is calling you to rest. In the face of oppression, you must rest. In the face of disenfranchisement, you must rest. When the powers that be seek to enslave you, you must rest. The Hebrews heeded God's call to rest, and they followed Moses out of bondage. They left behind their slave masters. They left behind the land of Pharaoh. They left behind the gods of Egypt and entered into their rest. They began their journey to the promised land. But before the journey, they met God at Sinai and rested physically and spiritually. I want you to understand that if we are to worship God, we must first rest. Where there is no rest, there can be no worship. And where there is no worship, there can be no deliverance. Now, let's fast forward to this country we call the United States of America. For 246 years, enslaved Africans had no rest. In many instances, the enslaved Africans worked 6 to 7 days per week. While slavery lasted, early Adventists advocated to end slavery by voice, vote, and defiance of laws that sought to keep men and women made in God's image bound in perpetual bondage. The Civil War to end slavery and the ratification of the 13th Amendment were the initial steps to freedom for those excluded from rest. Following the end of slavery, workers, whether black or white, worked 12 hours per day, 6 days per week. In other words, from sunup to sundown. And in many instances, children found themselves working long hours in factories and fields across the country. Even in our day, we continue to see reports of child labor taking place in the dark corners of this country. But next, a bloody fight between organized labor and corporate monopolies began. Labor unions acted by any means necessary to fight for laws that would benefit workers and bring them rest. Their tactics were so bad at times that Ellen White warned Adventists not to join these movements, while at the same time she condemned those corporate monopolistic powers that would not allow workers to rest. The labor unions would compel workers to strike against their will, and the corporate monopolies would deny them rest against their will. It was not until the late 1930s when the Fair Labor Standards Act was passed, limiting work to 40 hours per week, that many employees received their rest. But this rest did not lead to Sabbath worship. By the year 1950, life expectancy in the United States increased from 50 to 68 years. Today, Loma Linda is a blue zone. The average lifespan is 89 years for men and 91 for women. I want you to understand that it pays to rest. Ironically, it was not the work of the Christian churches that finally brought rest to an overworked and tired nation, but it was organized labor. Because the laws in the United States now protect rest, a new form of unrest has been shipped overseas by corporate giants like Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon, where workers are being exploited at factories when they work from sun up to sundown. I am convicted today that one of the great missions of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to bring rest in these last days to a world that is exhausted physically and spiritually. Round the clock we work. We are beholden to our employers who desire to maximize profits for shareholders. We are teaching our children from a young age to engage in all sorts of after-school activities to give them the slightest advantage of getting into the elite colleges and universities. Many of them break under the strain of the process. Many of us are exhausted from caring for sick and aging family members. Finally, when the day of rest arrives, we spend long hours in church in church activities. At the end of the day of rest, we are exhausted and we need rest. If we are to unleash the power of God in brightness and glory, we must rest. I know some of you are struggling with this concept of resting right now. Rest seems passive. Rest is not resistance. But that is exactly what it is. The story is told of a young woman named Rosa Parks. After a long day of work as a seamstress, she was sitting on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. The law required her to give up her seat to a white person in accordance with segregation laws. But she was tired, and she decided to rest. And her rest led to her arrest. And her arrest led to the civil rights movement that culminated in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Her rest transformed America. I want you to understand that rest is resistance, and God is calling us to rest. On October the 24th, 1975, Icelandic women went on strike for the day to demonstrate the indispensable work of women for Iceland's economy and society, and to protest wage discrepancy and unfair employment practices. It was then publicized domestically as Women's Day Off. Participants led by women's organizations did not go to their paid jobs, and did not do any housework or child rearing for the whole day, just one day. 90% of Iceland's female population participated in the rest. Iceland's parliament passed a law guaranteeing equal pay the following year. There is real power in rest. Last year, the Oakwood Academy basketball team had to forfeit a playoff game that was scheduled to begin during the Sabbath hours. These young men chose to rest. Their petition to the local athletic association to reschedule the game to a time after the Sabbath was denied. Their stand for Sabbath rest resulted in an invitation from the governor of Alabama and national publicity for a group of young men taking a stand for their faith. The department got involved, filed suit, and the athletic association settled with the promise to accommodate Sabbath rest going forward. God is calling us to rest, then worship. This year, we celebrate Gerald Groff, an evangelical Christian who believes that Sunday should be devoted to rest, and Alan Reinach, an Adventist attorney who has devoted his life to defending Adventists who seek rest on God's holy day, the Sabbath. Groff and Reinach challenged the United States Postal Service's decision in violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to deny Mr. Gross' request to rest on the day he calls holy. 68 years after Rosa Parks rested because she was tired, and 59 years after the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, symbolizing her rest, Mr. Groff continued this legacy of resting as resistance. In doing so, Mr. Groff has brought a chance for rest to thousands of Adventists who lose their jobs on a yearly basis because employers across the nation refuse to grant them rest. This joint stand of a Sabbath keeper and a Sunday keeper resulted in a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court of the United States to affirm the power of rest in an age where corporate pharaohs continue to increase the workload on an exhausted nation and world. As Adventists, we understand that the final battle in Earth's history will be over rest and worship. We understand that this country, so near and dear to our hearts, will one day forsake its founding principles and take God's rest from the earth. We pause to celebrate the recent decision by the Supreme Court. We thank God that the court recognized the fundamental right of rest. But as we move forward, we must rest. We must set the examples in our jobs and in schools and among our friends and neighbors by taking a step back from the rat race of life by resting. Like Moses, we must also teach the people to rest. Tell them that God is our creator, and he has made all mankind in his image. While we have dominion over the earth, we do not have dominion over each other. That means that we are entitled to God's weekly rest because we are made in his image. In closing, Martin Luther King offered these words during the fight for civil rights. He said, and I quote, "I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting for what should have been mine at birth. If you're tired, if you're weary, rest and God will redeem you and those around you with his mighty hand and judgments." May God bless you today.
I rejoice with you this morning that Satan's forces have not yet been successful in this country. And you and I gather here on the Sabbath day from Sabbath to Sabbath. Thank you for worshiping with us today. This form to nominate the committee that will elect the nominating committee, would you please give it to one of the deacons as you exit the rear of the sanctuary today? Let's bow together in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the freedom we do have. That as the Constitution of the United States says, we have the freedom to gather and worship as we see fit from reading your word. We pray that as long as possible, Lord, that you would keep that freedom open, the doors to freedom open, that we might be able to share the gospel in a freer way than under persecution. So bless each one today as we exit and leave your house. And Lord, may we find somebody this week that we can share the good news with. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.